To start, press any key. Where's the any key?
Now let's play human foosball!
And Nam has scored the fastest playoff goal surely in Columbus history! Finley with this run, it's spectacular! Oh, what a goal! Ethan Finley with a brace inside 2 minutes!
Take that, Diddy A. Drogba!
This is the Massive Report Podcast.
The end is the beginning is the end, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the pre-Dosisero Massive Report Podcast. I can't even talk. I'm out of practice for like a week, and at this point, I don't know what I'm doing.
It's been a long season.
It has been a long season. It has. I want to thank all of our sponsors for this season. Land Grant Brewing Company, where we're currently broadcasting. I also want to say thank you to Fireball Press. I want to say thank you very much to Hendox Pub, where we're not broadcasting tonight because it would be way too loud there. We're on the patio tonight. This is kind of nice.
It's cold.
It's...
I'm cold, and I'm sitting next to a fire, and I'm still cold.
You're sitting... There's a fireplace behind you.
I'm still cold.
Thank you also to Grove City Barbershop, and thank you to Ohio is Home. We should still have some Massive Report t-shirts at the tailgate tomorrow if anybody has not gotten their 2016 Massive Report t-shirt. My name is Matt Goschert. Sam Fahmy is hitting the buttons tonight. Alex Stanek is here. Ariel Castillo is joining us. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so glad to be back.
I am so glad that you are back.
I know. I thought you guys were killing me and being like extra Midwestern by making the Floridian record this outside. But you know, with my back to the fire, my back is good.
Exactly.
So,
see,
I'll survive.
And you can do it rotisserie style every once in a while if you're not talking. Just kind of swing around real quick.
I'll even out.
If you get really cold during the podcast, I actually have hand warmers in my bag. So let me.
Yes.
That's so nice.
This hoodie will also fit. So if you need an extra layer.
Midwestern hospitality.
Exactly.
That's so nice.
Let's hang on for one second.
I'm not joking. I have hand warmers.
Okay.
There we go.
Oh, whoops.
It's all good.
Okay. Nope, you're good.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
It still popped again. Did you hear that?
That was me.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Sam's breaking things today.
Okay.
Yeah. I actually have a microphone. See, normally they don't give me a microphone.
Yeah. There's a reason that we don't give you a microphone, Sam, because you get distracted. And Tony Galifo shows random pictures of people. What is that?
It's Tony with Alexi.
Oh, Alexi Lawless?
I did invite Alexi to come on, and he completely ignored me.
Cool. We still love him. Good guy.
We got the A squad.
Wait.
What do we need Alexi Lawless for? We have Ariel.
I mean, that is true.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Wait, so you actually have hand warmers. So... is this something that you all just carry around, or
in the wintertime I do?
Really? So it's like a legit
during
thing.
Like the first month of the season here in Columbus, we usually carry hand warmers
in
almost
March.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
I remember.
All the way up to like May, it could be very, very cold. There could be snow. We're kind of used to that.
My hand warmer is just a bottle of Jameson, chilled. Because you just feel warm after a while. It's fine.
Once it goes numb, it's just like warm.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, it totally doesn't matter. Guys, it is the eve of another USA-Mexico World Cup qualifier in Columbus, Ohio. This is the fifth. The last four, as everybody listening to this knows, finished with a score of 2-0. And is my mic cut off, Sam?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Okay.
You're good.
Okay. Yeah, because I cannot hear. I have no snare in my headphones right now.
You're good.
Okay.
You're good.
Okay, cool. I just wasn't 100% sure what was going on. So the last four matches obviously have ended 2-0. Let's talk about this for a second. Let's talk about history. Ariel, let's start with you. Your thoughts on this match?
I just have so many feelings about everything that's happening.
Same.
I think there's a lot to live up to. I just want something good to happen in general in the world.
Oh, why? So, oh, why? Has it been a weird week?
It's been a weird week. I think the timing just proves that, you know, whatever you believe in or don't believe in, the cosmic sense of humor is kind of twisted.
2016 sucks, basically, is what we're saying.
I mean, it's almost December, and I'm, you know, still mourning David Bowie. So, and that was back in January. So, you know, just bookended by stuff. I'm excited for the game, though. I think the U.S. roster is pretty exciting. I think it's got a lot of what people were sort of, you know, complaining and moaning about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking to see how all those different guys gel. And I think the whole legend of Dos Acero is going to be hard to live up to, but, you know, I don't know. I think the guys are up to the task.
I think, you know, we could still have, who was it 2 years ago, that two games ago that shanked the kick?
That was Dempsey.
That was last year.
That was last game. Yeah, okay, yeah, no, you're right. They only happen once every about 4 years, so they kind of run together for me. Yeah, no, 2009 was when we had the hailstorm. I forgot about that.
That sounds miserable.
Yeah, and I was wearing a t-shirt and jeans and did not have a coat, and it dropped down to like 20 degrees before the game.
No.
It was...
should have brought hand warmers.
I should have. I had to cut my ticket rep loaned me his like giant crew jacket because I was soaked and freezing.
Well, I hope you renewed after that.
I did.
Okay, good.
For 6-7 years.
Okay.
So
good.
Alex,
that's enough for a new bag or for a new jacket.
Well, he loaned it to me. I had to give it back. That's the problem. Alex, your thoughts leading in, just initial thoughts on the night tomorrow.
It's
the day.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. Like we've talked about, this has been a very interesting week, and I think this game is going to be very interesting on and off the field.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we have an opportunity to send a message on and off the field, and I hope that we do that on and off the field. Especially off the field, honestly. I want to see the crowd really represent the United States in a positive light. I want to see the team on the field represent the country in a positive light.
Yep.
And I would love to get a result, but it's going to be tough. I mean, Mexico, on paper at least, I think is a better team.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some magic in Columbus that I don't really know if you can kind of quantify it.
Yeah.
But yeah, off the field, I'm. That's almost the focus for me, which is really weird. I've never really gone into a game feeling like this before, so I'm not sure how it's going to be like when I'm in there. But yeah, it doesn't even feel like it's a good time for a U.S.-Mexico game in a lot of ways. But I hope we get the result.
Yeah, it's going back, remembering the game 3 years ago was just a really weird day leading up to it, and going to all the places and doing all the things beforehand, and then going in and just having everything click was just amazing. I mean, that everybody knows with the articles that I wrote 3 years ago, it was a weird day. So being separated from all that during this one, I'm pretty calm.
Yeah,
like not having to deal with TIFO and not having to deal with capos and not having to deal with any of that stuff. I am so relaxed right now. This is great. I'm going to be stressed as hell about 20 minutes before the game starts because I'm going to be freaking out about the result. But just from a personal level, it kind of feels like the first one I went to in 2009, where I literally just like I'm just excited. I'm anticipatory, but not. It's fun when you take yourself out of having to do work.
Yeah, I had to do a bunch.
Don't know
stuff.
What that's like. Sorry.
You're basically on the hook like 24/7, right?
Yeah. What?
Yeah, I said you're basically on the hook 24/7.
A little bit.
Yeah. It's been 9 years. I figure I give myself one match where I don't have to do anything.
See, I'm actually the opposite this year. Since this is the first year...
Oh, yeah. I forgot about
we
that.
We got approved to actually cover the game. We got denied the last 2 years. And this year, we went in with the power of SB Nation.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be... Last year, I was in the stands. The year before, I was holding onto the railing so tight so that I don't end up being blown away by the wind. That's how hard the wind was.
Yeah.
And I am not a small guy.
Well, in the press box, they usually have cookies, so there's that.
Yeah, see, they don't give us photographers those nice things.
If we get
like a hot dog, we might be lucky.
So about 2 minutes after halftime starts, can you sneak me some cookies?
Yeah, for sure. They usually put them out in halftime. It's usually
yes.
just generally the way things work in soccer press boxes, there's usually the hot food, and then the cookies come out when you have to start going to press conferences and stuff.
I think that's it's when you need the sugar, isn't it?
Yeah, love a good deadline cookie.
I totally picked the wrong career path.
Yeah, you really did. Yeah. Hot food
and cookies and soccer. Oh man.
Yeah, for real.
Some of us work in sports for a reason.
My name is Sam, and I'm just here for the cookies. So let's go through the lineup. We'll start with. Let me see here. Do you have the Mexico lineup pulled up?
Yeah,
Alex?
there's a ton of people on this roster. So I mean, I don't want to go through everybody. But okay. There are.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I was at the Mexican national team press conference and training, and it sounded like Juan Carlos Osorio didn't have his 11 picked out yet, or at least if he did. He was playing it really close to the chest.
Yeah.
Every time anyone asked him anything, he said, well, we still don't know. We still have a training. So I'm sure he has an idea, but he certainly didn't reveal anything. And, I mean, all of the guys were training, so it was really hard to tell who they're going to bring out as starters.
Yeah. How do you guys want to do this? Do you want to just kind of general feelings on the lineup? Do you want to,
yeah,
or just general feelings
on
the players called into camp? Do you want to do that?
I think for Mexico that would be easier.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with Mexico. We started with you first, Ariel, so let's go with you, Alex. Your thoughts on the Mexican team.
They're strong.
Yeah.
And they have some players returning to the national team, particularly Vela, who could single-handedly destroy us. So I'm pretty nervous.
This is the guy the entire Columbus Crew season that kept saying, no, we're going to start winning and we'll make the playoffs.
We're going to be fine.
Gloom and doom with Mexico. 11 and a half minutes
listen
in.
Listen to me.
Well, but then doesn't that mean that the opposite will happen?
Oh, so yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Gloom and doom prediction.
I also thought that the Indians were going to win the World Series. So, I mean, I'm starting. I'm just going to flip everything. And I thought the Cavs would lose. So, I've kind of predicted everything wrong this year. I thought Hillary was going to win the election. So
let's go to Vegas in February.
But what I'm saying is, they are a very, very good team. On paper, I think they are the better squad by a significant margin in some areas. But there is something about Columbus that, and some of the U.S. players talked about it. They said, we don't know if it affects Mexico or not, but it definitely affects us. We kind of get hyped up for this game.
Yeah.
If they get hyped up and if they kind of play beyond their normal abilities, I think we can win this game.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be real cold out, and our guys are going to have the crowd behind them, and I'm not sure they're going to be feeling the cold like Mexico will because of that crowd, because of that energy, because of that kind of adrenaline. And if that happens, then I think we can get a result. But it is going to be a very, very big test for this team because Mexico is very, very strong.
Yeah,
basically, from 1 to 11, they are very, very strong.
So I just pulled up the forecast. Tomorrow, a high of 49, a low of 27.
Why?
You're going to be in the press box.
39 degrees at kickoff, Tony. Oh, Tony's happy about that. Tony wants a winter schedule like this year.
Oh,
that's,
no.
Yeah, that's Tony wants everything.
I work at a hockey rink. I never get cold. It'll be
Tony and 9 other people in Crew Stadium for those February games. I would be one of them, but I would be cussing at you, Tony, the entire time. So
how's that different than a normal game?
Yeah. That is a good point. I'll be like, Tony, stop. Tony, please.
Ariel, your thoughts on Mexico?
Well, I think Carlos Vela is going to be a challenge. I also think Giovanni Los Santos is going to be real difficult. I mean, I think he's in great form with his club. It's going to be interesting to see how that stacks up on the international level. But I think the fact that he even got called in at all is a vote of confidence from, Juan Carlos Osorio and his ability. So I think he's on a great run right now. So I'm a little worried about what he'll do, especially because he knows some of the guys he'll be playing against, so he'll know how to predict what they do. So I'll be watching him closely. So.
Do you feel that with how early this game is in the Hex, do you feel that maybe it doesn't have the tension or the stress that's normally behind it? Because it's usually a must-win game or a very important game, late in the draw, and this is the first game.
Yeah, I feel that a lot. I feel that a lot just because for many factors, it's early in the Hex. we know we have another game coming up, whatever, just a couple days later, you know, Costa Rica. Yeah. And I think people will probably feel pretty confident about that. So I think, I think the election just outside of soccer, you know, sucked a lot of the air out of the hype around this game.
Yeah.
The club season is still going on internationally and here. So I think that's all dampening it a little bit, to be honest.
Yeah, I just, when in 2009, when the game was in February, and it was, I think it was the third game in the Hex that season, but that round, if I remember correctly, and it was so on an island. It was so just out in the middle of nowhere. There was no MLS going on. There was really nothing else other than European soccer going on, and it was a focus. And this is like, yeah, like you were saying, the election, MLS playoffs are going on, a lot of other stuff is happening, and so yeah, it makes it kind of a weird placement.
I don't know how it'll affect the guys, but I think from a fan sense, there isn't quite the urgency, like, oh my God, we have to get through the Hex. I think we're maybe a little comfortable about it, but yeah. Who knows?
Do you think Mexico would come out even more aggressive to try to kind of really take advantage of that and maybe kind of break the mystique of Columbus?
I mean, I think they're going to come out aggressively in Columbus no matter what it is. I definitely think there's a big feeling that they need to break this sort of like legendary record. So, yeah, for sure.
No, I think this is the game. You know, this is the game of the Hex. You know, it's so weird that it's happening so early, but it's the one with the most hype. It's the one that's for Mexico. They have to, you know, they have to figure out a way to break what's been going on, because it's been so, I hate to say it, but embarrassing for them, you know, just losing that much and by the same scoreline and at the same place and all that sort of stuff. It's not like, oh, well, we beat Trinidad in Kansas City and then we beat Trinidad in somewhere in rural Delaware. You know, it's the same place. It's the same stadium. It's the same everything. And that has to be in the back of your head.
Yeah, and I think people are still thinking about their, you know, 7-0 drubbing in the Copa America. I mean, that's like the kind of international loss that will sting for a long time. So
yeah.
I mean, people were talking about it today, so I think that added to all this Columbus stuff. They definitely have something to prove. So
yeah.
That was a really nice segue, Matt.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Very good.
That's what I do.
Do you think, and we've discussed this partially on another podcast because of other news, but do you think this game ever leaves Columbus?
I don't know. I hope not. I kind of feel like that's it, right? This is the home territory for the U.S. men's national team in this, you know, series or game or whatever. So I hope it doesn't.
Mm.
I mean, I know that there's talks of building a new Crew SC stadium, and part of me is a little sad if everything would move. But,
yeah.
You know, it's like the old Yankee Stadium was kind of sad when
I think if they do build a new stadium, we just keep Mafre for that game and Shania Twain concerts. Those are the two things.
I mean, if the plan is as it's supposed to be, I don't think Mafre is going anywhere.
Yeah.
Even if they do build a new stadium, because I think the plan is to still use it as a venue.
Yeah.
Whether it's for rock or the region, would that make it lose a lot of its mystique if the Crew build a really fancy state of the art, let's say, 30,000 seat stadium?
I don't know. I mean, because there's still so much sentimentality attached to RFK, right?
Yeah.
And I think we just don't have a lot of soccer history, really, as far as venues, as far as anything, long-lasting in the sport in this country yet. So I hope it sticks around.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing, is like it's paid for, it's on state land, and there's really no reason, even if they do build a new stadium, there's no reason to tear it down other than operating costs. But if you look at all the high school playoff football games that happen there, you look at all of the other events that take
high school
place
soccer
there.
Finals are school, on Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, that, right, this, oh,
Sunday.
This Sunday.
There are this Sunday.
Oh, wow. Yeah. High school soccer finals.
High school soccer finals.
They're getting the national team, the treatment from the pitch?
Pretty much, yes.
Nice.
Huh.
Nice.
They're still going to have the national team banners up for that, I bet.
More than likely.
That's cool for those kids. That's awesome. Let's talk a little bit more about that. We're going to take a break here real quick. We'll come back from that break. We'll talk a little bit more about what happens and what happens going forward, what happens next round. And then we're going to go back and actually talk about the match itself and the U.S. roster, because Sam got me out of order. So stick around, guys. It's the Massive Report. not 100% sure why Sam picked that music, but I'll let it stand. Welcome back. It is segment number two of the Massive Report. So we're talking about Columbus. We're talking about the fact that there's always, every single time this game is put in Columbus, at least for the last two cycles, a kerfuffle about why don't you put it in a bigger stadium or why don't you put it somewhere else? And the question being, do you ever, if the team gets a new stadium, do you move the game? And Alex, your thoughts?
You don't move it under any circumstances unless the team loses. If the team loses, I think it's going to get moved for sure.
Hold on. Hold on. Are you talking move the game into the new stadium or move the game out of Columbus?
Because those are two questions. Yes.
Oh yeah. So you move it to the new stadium.
Do you?
Oh yeah. You paid a lot of money for that stadium. You want people to see it on national television. You want fans from around the country to come and visit the new stadium and to kind of go back and tell their friends how great it is.
But does that have any value to U.S. soccer?
No, but
if
I think
it's more tickets, it would.
I still think you do it.
I'm just asking the question. Hey, I'm just going back over here. I'm just asking questions. Okay.
All right. All right.
I mean, Ariel, do you move it to the, like, because they would feasibly keep Mafre open if they moved it. Would you move it to a new stadium if this hypothetical stadium that they don't even have land for at this point was built?
I don't know. There's so many hypotheticals. I can't say what would happen. It would depend what year, how the team is doing, how everyone is doing. So it's
whether or not Miley Cyrus is president.
Right, exactly. But I would be sad if this game moved out of Columbus, because I think there is some history there that we should, you know, hang on to.
Should recognize.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that it's one of those things that there are certain elements of tradition because it is, the sport is so young in its actual, like, the sport's not young in this country, but the enthusiasm and the professional major league and et cetera are so young that there has to be some sort of traditions. There has to be some sort of, this is a thing that we do because we just don't have that, you know?
Yeah.
There's no Wembley Stadium for the Open Cup final. You know, there's nothing like that. So the one thing that's a constant in U.S. soccer is that USA Mexico at home is played in Columbus.
Yeah, totally.
It's really the only thing I can think of that's a actual constant. Do you got anything else, Alex?
I can't think of anything else that kind of sticks around.
Let me ask this. Sunil Gulati has said, unless the team loses, I'm not moving it out of Columbus. Unless the team loses, I'm not moving it out of Columbus.
Yeah.
At least on his watch. Let's say he is no longer U.S. soccer president and somebody else comes in. Do you think that they would have the cojones to move it out of Columbus?
I don't know. That's such a hypothetical. Yeah. It's impossible to really. I mean, that's like a couple futures from now. Who knows?
How long does he have left in this term? 2 years?
Something like that.
Are they four-year terms?
I have no idea. I'm not even going to pretend to know that one.
I think it's four-year terms, but I don't remember, quite honestly.
So,
who knows?
No, I should have done more show prep.
I think we're worrying about something that probably will not happen. So
this is pretty much what we do on this show.
Yeah, this is. I mean, this is this show.
This is what I do in my life, but I'm trying really hard to sort of live in the moment a little bit more instead of forecasting a depressing future. So, you know.
All right, so let's talk USA roster. Let's talk. What do you think, Alex? Strengths of the USA roster?
I think heart. I think that they want to win here. I think they're confident here, and I think that on the right day they can really put up a fight against anybody. I mean, I think the weird thing about the United States men's national team in general, I feel like, is that they can be kind of hot and cold.
Yep.
And sometimes they'll come out and they'll get a result, and you're like, man, what in the heck? Where did that come from? And sometimes it's, man, what in the heck? Where did that come from? Good. And sometimes it's, man, what in the heck? Where did that come from? Bad. In Columbus, it's usually the good. And if that continues, I think that they can win. But if for whatever reason they're just not feeling it, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on off the field, and for both teams, I think that, you know, the election's going to potentially even be a factor. I don't know. The atmosphere could be different, and I don't know. I just This is such a hard game to call.
Yeah.
In terms of like players, I think that are kind of interesting to watch. We had Morris get kicked off the roster. Well, he's injured. I mean, he's off the roster now, and they brought Gordon on.
Yeah.
I think that could be really interesting. Like late in a match, it's going to be cold out. Gordon is just like a beast.
It's Gordon time.
Yeah, I mean, I could see him in like the 70th minute coming in, like to a nothing game and getting a goal or two. I mean, he's just I don't even know. I love Gordon.
I'm such a Gordo.
Yeah.
Girl. I just love him. I love him.
He reminds me a lot of Lenhart, who I liked for basically the exact same reason, which is just like he will. You just get out of his way, because if he is going to score a goal, he's going to score. Like, and you just need to. There's nothing you can really do about it. He's just going to do it. I don't know. I go back and forth on this game. This has been kind of a weird week, and I have a lot of mixed feelings about everything. And I really hope that we get the result. But this is, in my opinion, the toughest Dos Azero since the first one in terms of matchup, in terms of how tough of a hill they have to climb. I mean, when we played the last one, they had an interim coach. They had a roster that was kind of up in the air, and that was still a really kind of tough game for the first half. I mean, it was back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of pulled away in the second half, but it was still close. And this Mexico team is, I think, a much better team than we faced last time in terms of kind of how they're playing. They have a coach who knows what they're doing, knows how to kind of get them out there. And our roster has still been kind of wishy-washy. So I don't know. I hope that we can do it, but I don't know.
What do you think, Ariel?
I'm really excited to see this permutation of the U.S. roster. I think a lot of people criticized Jurgen Klinsmann for not bringing in fresh blood for so long, and now he has,
especially through
the last couple of qualifying games. And obviously a few guys that he was testing out proved their worth. So I'm really, again, I'm so excited to see Gordo back. I was at one of his last club games in L.A., where he had a goal and an assist with Ima Boateng, and that was just awesome. I mean, he was just beasting that game, and you can tell he's on the older side, so you can tell he's ready to just do it, because this cycle probably won't come around again for him, given his age.
Yeah.
At the same time, I think I'm a huge fan of Sasha Kljestan. So another guy I think who was really hungry to prove his medal and his worth at the friendlies that just happened and in the last qualifiers. And, I mean, he's just a beast as a number 10. I think he's great at creating chances for other people as well as scoring himself. So I'm really excited. And some of the younger guys could surprise us. I don't know, kid like Cameron Carter-Vickers or something. So I think it's a roster with a lot of depth. Oh, and Jermaine Jones is back, so I'm pretty stoked about that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a lot of physical guys that could really do some damage.
Yeah. All right. What do you think, Sam?
Is this a situation where you can see somebody like Christian Pulisic possibly start, maybe not starting, but having a significant role in this game? I mean, he got his first cap here in Columbus against, was it Costa Rica?
Yes. Yeah, that was his first cap.
Yeah, so is this... You were talking about fresh blood. I mean, he's now had a few caps under his belt, too.
Yeah, and I think he's performed really well in both, you know, the friendlies and the other, you know, qualifier games where he's gotten a shot. I think, obviously, Jurgen is kind of hot on him, and I would be really surprised if we didn't see him. I mean, I fully expect to.
A follow-up. But as somebody who follows MLS, obviously, how much do you feel that the players that are getting really hot right now for their clubs, how do you feel that will reflect on this game tomorrow? So, like Michael Bradley, like Jozy Altidore, like... I'm totally blanking now. But
Sasha.
Sasha, of course. You know, these players have gotten really hot in the last few games. Do you think that change of tactics on the field, or that change of counterparts on the field, do you feel that will continue to kind of maybe help that, or maybe kind of hinder it the other way?
No, I think it's going to help, especially because a lot of the guys you mentioned who are having really hot club streaks in MLS, they know each other to some extent. I mean, obviously Michael and Jozy play on the same team, so that can only help. It'll be interesting to see how it translates, you know, to the international level, but I think so far they've been proving themselves from what I've seen in person, and you know, on TV. So,
looking at the forwards here, we've got obviously Josie. He's going to be playing. I mean, that's just a foregone conclusion. You have Aaron Johansson, Jordan Morris, Boy Detective.
He's off. It's Gordo.
Yeah, he's hurt.
Gordo.
Yeah, this was before
the hamstring injury, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's a bummer for him. Okay, and Bobby Wood. Gordo and Bobby.
Bobby Wood.
What do you guys think forward wise?
I think it's talented, but we have the players there. I do think Josie will probably get the start. And he's a good player, but I don't know. He's always the kind of player that I feel like he's kind of streaky, but he's in good form with Toronto.
Streaky so, right now with Toronto
so,
in a good way.
So if that can kind of carry over, I mean, Toronto are looking good, then I think we're in good shape. But I think he'll get the start. I would look for Gordo in the final 20 minutes. I think he's going to be the guy who kind of comes on and, like Ariel said, I feel
caps
like
caps it up. Yeah,
I feel like he knows this is kind of like his swan song in a lot of ways, and I think he would love to get a goal. And I personally,
I think the place would blow up.
I would.
Oh yeah,
I would love
that would
nothing.
Be cool.
I would
great.
Love nothing more for Gordo to get a goal. Like I would be so happy.
Yeah.
What do you think about the other forwards?
I think we have a good chance of seeing Bobby Wood, maybe like kind of like, you know, on the side, out wide, something like that. He plays pretty well out there. So I think we'll see him.
All right. I do want to look at one more thing. Goalkeepers.
That's a hard one.
Yeah, Guzan or Howard?
I was thinking about that. Oh, man. I don't know. I was watching both of them train today, and it's I don't know. For me, that's a heads or tails situation.
Yeah.
What do you think?
You almost kind of have to.
Yeah.
Give Howard one more go around, one more rodeo.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it just.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah.
With his performance in Colorado this year, I mean, it's Colorado for crying out loud. That I feel the same, but I almost felt didn't at some point Jurgen said that Howard's going to have to say it for Brad. Not for this game specifically.
Well, what do you mean by it's Colorado? I mean, because Colorado's been killing it defensively. So,
well,
I don't know. They've been very
strong
at the back.
Yeah, but it's I think this year out of Colorado wasn't really expected before.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that really helps it, and it helps that they have a very confident goalkeeper behind them. So, I mean, their moves have been really good this year. But I don't know. Maybe it's my stigma about Colorado.
Maybe.
That's very much possible.
Are you a mountainist, Sam? Are you just bigoted against mountains?
Dude, my country's so flat, it's not even funny.
I know. That's why I'm saying.
I think that Howard has done his time, and he has kind of earned this last Dos Azeres. It will be his last Dos Azeres.
It would, yeah. I mean, he's not.
His last U.S.-Mexico, I should say. I don't know if we're going to see another Dos Azeres, but I think if I were Jurgen, I would give it to Howard as a thank you for his service to his national team and say, you know, okay, this is your chance. This is the premier game.
I feel like that's a very Jurgen Klinsmann thing to do, too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I agree. All right, overall thoughts just on the roster head to head with the Mexico roster. Who wants to start?
I think it's talent versus heart. I really do. I think it's gonna come down to, do these guys want it more than Mexico to the point where it kind of overcomes their ability. I think Mexico is a very, very strong team. I'm really scared about a handful of their players who I feel like could, you know, cut straight through our team. And I really hope that they're up for it. I think that they are, from what they're saying in the press at least. But this is going to be a really tough game, and I'm already stressed. If you guys haven't noticed, like, I am already freaking out about this game.
Yeah.
Like, more so.
And you're
than
drinking root beer.
I am. Like we always talk about on the podcast, Matt. You know, that's my favorite drink here.
Yeah, little less sugar, maybe. For the next 24 hours. I'm going to put you on a no-sugar diet. That's right. What's going
to
happen.
I'll switch to tea, Matt.
Okay.
Just for you.
Thank you. Chamomile.
Okay.
Ariel.
I'm a little stressed out. I get anxious before club games that involve clubs I don't even feel super strongly about. So I take on people's stress as my own.
I'm so sorry I made you sit next to him.
I don't... Talent versus heart. I mean, I don't want to discount our guys' talent either. I think a lot of people will surprise us, hopefully. just really want this team to give people something to smile about.
Yeah.
And I hope that happens, and I hope that everyone is gracious about it as much as possible. But, you know, on the technical side, again, I was at Jurgen's press conference today at the stadium, and he had great things to say about the Mexican squad, but he said that, you know, their coach is not, quote-unquote, the most patient. So I'm hoping that maybe his impatience will lead to them making some kind of weird tactical adjustment or change or something that will work in our favor. That's what I'm hoping for. Although now that he said that, maybe the guy will go out of his way to just stick to something.
Stick to the
yeah.
game plan no matter what.
I can calm you down on one thing. This team, this U.S. team is definitely going to make a group of fans happy. by the end of tomorrow night.
Just, we don't know which one.
We just don't know which one. But you just said you want a group of fans to be happy. So, mission accomplished? I don't know.
They can't both lose. That
yeah,
is true. That is true.
Yeah. I mean, they can, kind of. I mean, they can both Canadian win.
I'll tell you, though, I'm staying in the same hotel as the Mexican team. Uh-huh. So
my condolences.
Regardless of the result.
So the Joseph?
It's going to be. No.
Oh, okay. Oh.
But it's going to be interesting there, I guess, regardless of what happens.
My buddy's a barista at the Joseph, and usually most of the out-of-town teams stay there. Although I guess both teams technically are out of town this time. So, yeah. I don't know. Okay.
Who knows?
The Travelodge in Groveport.
Right off of 71.
Right off of 71. Not Groveport's not off of 71.
It was
Dude,
a joke. It was a joke.
You're bad at geography, Sam. You're really bad at geography. Do you guys want to do score predictions, or we got anything else? Do we forget to do anything here?
I want to say one thing. You know, I think this has been kind of an interesting way, and we've kind of like touched on this a little bit, but not much.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a presidential election that was pretty heated, and there was kind of a lot of rhetoric during this thing about Mexico.
Yep.
And I really hope that fans are kind to each other and that we have a good atmosphere. I feel like I said in the beginning, I feel like we can send a message on and off the field tomorrow.
The one thing that I've seen at every game that I've been to in this entire situation is antagonism in a friendly way before the game. Antagonism in a heated but not violent way during the game, and then mostly camaraderie after the game, with the exception of a few incidents that are few and far between. I don't expect anything different. I would hope that people, and I'm talking about USA fans here, that would feed into that sort of vitriol would not be the people coming to this game.
I don't think they are, to be honest.
That's what I'm saying.
I just think that U.S. soccer fans are a self-selected group that are generally, you know, more accepting of a lot of different kinds of people.
Yeah.
And I actually think that as bad as the political sort of tenor is right now, I think that my feeling is that that's going to lead people to be maybe extra vigilant.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to be a lot of internal self-regulation. So.
Maybe even proactive in showing grace to others.
Exactly. Yeah, because, you know, the U.S. sort of has a black eye right now, and I think people are conscious of that and conscious of being on their good behavior and showing a positive side.
There's a difference between being happy when your soccer team wins and being antagonistic towards another soccer team and being a racist.
You know,
and I think that 99.999% of the people that are going to this match on both sides understand where that line is.
And I
have the internet. I just got it like a couple of weeks ago. It's pretty awesome.
That explains a lot.
Cool.
You still can't do show prep.
I can't do show prep because I just got the internet a couple of weeks ago. But I understand that it's a concern for people. But just as somebody who's been to this before and who's been to a lot of other World Cup qualifiers or friendlies versus a lot of teams of countries of different cultures, I don't really have a concern about it in Columbus. I don't.
I don't really either.
And the people who pay a very large amount of money to travel because they're USA or they're Mexico fans from wherever else in the country, I don't think you pay that much money and expend that much effort out of your life in order to be some antagonistic jerk to somebody at a soccer game.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I think that you're there because you want to watch the game and you're there because you enjoy the sport.
Well, at least in this country, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
In Europe, it might be a little bit different.
Exactly.
That is true. And I think, you know, I think this is a real opportunity, and I know for me anyway, I will be hugging as many fans from both teams as I possibly can and just trying to spread that love.
Is that because you're doing a bunch of ecstasy in the parking lot at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon?
I will not be doing any ecstasy in anywhere, but no, I think this is going to be...
He's drinking root beer. Come on.
I am. Yeah, come on, Matt.
You don't know about his pill problem.
Yeah. Or his box wine problem.
Yes, wine-drunk Alex is my favorite Alex.
It was half a glass of wine. That's how, like,
yeah, and you
that's
were
how, like
wasted.
Straight edge I am. Yeah, because I never drink, Matt, because I'm drinking root beer.
And we finally did
it. That was the best night of my life, by the way.
That was a fun podcast. I was just like, guys, it's going to be fine, okay?
All right, so anyway, let's get back to it. I agree. The only other thing that I would say, and this is just for me, it's a free country. You have freedom of speech. You can do whatever you want to. Tomorrow's Veterans Day, so think about that during the national anthem.
And thank you, veteran.
Yeah, thank you for anybody who has served, et cetera, like we always would. So,
score predictions?
Score predictions. Let's do it. Alex.
2-0.
Ariel.
I would like to think that it will be 2-0.
2-0!
Sam. I'm not going to be the dick that goes and not say Dosicero.
I think
Dosicero.
Yeah, you would be walking home, and that's weird because you drove. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Thank you, Ariel, for coming on.
It's been
a lot of fun, and you're always welcome on anytime
that
you happen to be in Columbus, which is when a major event happens, apparently. I'm inviting you to my birthday party this year. It's
great.
In March. You got plenty of time.
We'll tape the podcast there.
That sounds great. I love this plan. For Sam Fahmy, for Ariel Castillo, for Alex Static, for Tony Galifo, who just decided to chime in randomly because that's what he does.
And then left.
For Elliot Static, who's been the best beer runner I've ever had at a show ever. Nice Clippers hat, by the way.
Thank you.
Ring your bell, sir. Ring your bell. My name is Matt Goschert. This has been another edition... And the final edition of this. Did you guys want to do an MLS Cup one?
No.
No? Alex, you want to do one and just not tell Sam we're going to do it?
If Toronto's not in it, maybe.
All right. No. We're going to do just a Montreal-centric one. It'll be great.
Cool.
This has been another edition of the Massive Report podcast. But Brondo's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
Come on, you Yanks.